good night. I'm gonna turn that thing down a little bit. I don't like to hear myself. About to leave today, was just about done with service, and my phone buzzed in my pocket. So after church, I looked at the text on it. It was Brother Joe Haynes. It texted me, asked me, did I want a swarm of bees that had gathered up on a porch steps over at the campground where they was at. So I told him I'll get back with you. I got to go home and see if I got the stuff to catch it with. Pulled in the driveway, and what did I see but a swarm of bees landing in a bush next to the hives at the house. So I kind of took that as an omen from the Lord. The Holy Ghost kind of prompted my heart to bring a message along those lines tonight concerning bees. If you have your Bible tonight, go ahead and turn over to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, and when you have that, if you would, then turn over to the book of Judges in chapter number 14, Psalm chapter 6, and Judges chapter number 14. Two swarms today. I wasn't able to go get one of them. I was busy getting the one there at the house and catching it. That was, shook those bees off into a box. I had a box sitting up on two concrete blocks, Brother Tim, and frames in it, some foundation, some wax already drawn out, and I pulled a limb over and shook the bees off in it. Most of them went in. Started to leave while I go and look, and every one of them gathered on the concrete block under the hive. I'm like, what? I've yet to figure it out. I mean, sometimes you get them, sometimes you don't, but you know, I've always, all my life, been fascinated with nature. I love to study things concerning nature. The intricacies of flowers and insects and all the different things concerning them. The relationship between fungi and plants and all the things that goes into the soil. And the changing of seasons and weather patterns and how that the weather works and the different seasons work has always intrigued me. I guess that's a lot of the reason that I got into beekeeping when I did. But you know, David said in Psalm 19, he said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth His handiwork. And see, David took time to consider God's creation and what it had to teach us about God. In Psalm chapter 8, David said, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou wouldest visit him? All you got to do tonight is to look up at the stars. All you got to do is watch how things work together and how everything fits together in nature and in this world. It doesn't take long to figure out there is a God. There has to be a creator behind all of it. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 6, I won't have you to stand tonight. I'm going to be just a moment. I'll tell you what, let's go to Judges first. I want to read it first. Judges chapter 14. I want to read one verse. We know how Samson there went down to Timnath with his mother and father to see about one of the daughters of the Philistines that he wanted to wife. And it says that on his way down there, a young lion roared at him in the way, and Samson killed the lion and left the carcass laying there. And it said that in verse number 8, that after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. Now look with me, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 6. The Bible says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. One of the greatest messages I believe I've ever heard preached, Brother John, was when Brother Milton stood here and preached on the ants that day. Great message on ants. But that word there, consider, simply means to think about or to study. He told us to think about these things, to study these things. And I figured after my episode today with two different swarms, I'd got to thinking about my bees. I got to considering them and studying about them. And that's what I want to preach on tonight. I want to preach a simple message tonight, just simply entitled, What's All the Buzz? What's all the buzz? Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you tonight, Lord, I do not take lightly the opportunity that I have, the privilege that I have to stand tonight and to proclaim your word. Lord, I don't want to do it carelessly or flippantly. Lord, I pray tonight that everything that I've studied, everything that I've read, everything that I've meditated upon, the things that you've shown me, God, Lord, you'd bring all those things back to my mind, that you would feed me so I can feed your sheep. Lord, I just want to be a help to somebody tonight, not a hindrance. Lord, of a truth, I can do nothing without you. But I'm glad that I can do all things through Christ. Tonight, Lord, I pray, Father, just use me as a vessel, that God, you can get your message to your people tonight. Lord, when all's said and done tonight, I pray that you would get the honor and glory for each and everything done. In Jesus' name, amen. I found this little bee sitting up there on the front row this morning. If anybody lost her, she's right there. I call her Beatrice. Sounds like a good name to me. So she's going to sit right there. But you know, although I've been keeping bees now for over 10 years, every day I learn something new about them. It's kind of like studying the Word of God, Brother John. Every time I open my Bible up, I learn something new. Every time I open up a hive of bees, I learn something new about them. Now, all of the workers in a colony of bees, for y'all that don't know this, all of the workers, the ones that actually do all the work, are females. And just like any other female, just when you think that you've got them figured out, they do something out of the way to make you realize you have no clue what they're even thinking. That's why I said what I did earlier about that swarm of bees I tried to catch today, and now they're sitting under the hive instead of in it where they should be. Every time I think that I got this thing about beekeeping figured out, I realize I don't really know much of anything about it. But I love to sit and watch my bees. I've been known to sit out in a clover patch for several hours taking pictures of them and watching them flutter from one flower to the other, gathering nectar and taking it back to the hive to make it into honey. And all they're doing at that time is preparing their hive to survive the coming dearth, the time when there'll be no nectar coming in, and to survive the next winter. That's all they're trying to do, is to get through those winter times in their life. Did you know tonight that in order for a hive of bees to make 1 pound of honey, that jar that's sitting in there in the fellowship hall that we have on Sunday morning, that's a pound of honey, that little jar. And in order for that jar of honey to get made, a hive of bees will travel about 55,000 miles and visit about 2 million flowers to make that 1 pound of honey. It's said that each individual bee in that hive will produce about 1/12 of a teaspoon of honey, or about a teardrop full of honey, in its lifetime. It doesn't seem like they're doing much when you think about it like that. A teardrop of honey in that bee's lifetime doesn't seem like much. But when you put a healthy and strong hive together, running somewhere around 60,000 bees, those bees can produce 100 to 200 pounds of honey a year. When that little bee leaves that hive, that one little bee will visit about 50 to 100 flowers before she comes back. It takes about 10 seconds to 2 minutes to work a flower, which means that she'll make between 5 and 15 trips a day just to gather nectar, flying about 12 to 15 miles an hour each time. She doesn't stop. She doesn't take a break. She doesn't rest. She goes from flower to flower. Do you know that's where we get our little phrase, busy as a bee, from? Because that's what they do, day in and day out. They fly and they gather that nectar when it's available. But I got to wondering about what can we as a church, not as individuals, but as the church, what can we learn about the bees? You see, in a beehive, you have all these individuals. You have the drones. You have the worker bees. You have the queen bee, the one queen inside the hive. but they all make up what we call a superorganism. In other words, you've got a lot of little organisms that make up this great big organism because they all work together, kind of like your body. Your body is made up of billions of cells all working together, but it makes up you. And so what one little bee can't do on its own, when they all get together, they can do a whole lot together. If you don't believe me, pop the top on a hive and compare getting stung by one bee to getting stung by 12. There's a big difference there. But I wonder tonight what we as a church can learn from a hive of bees. Well, I want us to first consider this. I want us to consider the sociality of the hive. Honeybees are what we call eusocial insects. That is, there's some things about them that make them social insects. Number one, they have overlapping generations within the hive. That means that there's young bees, there's middle-aged bees, and there's old bees inside that hive. Not only are there overlapping generations, but bees also share in the care of their brood. In other words, although it's only the queen that produces the egg that's laid inside that hive, all the bees have a responsibility in taking care of those bees and watching them grow. But also, bees have a division of labor. The jobs they perform inside the hive depend on their age. In other words, maturity plays a large role in the work that a bee does within the beehive. But I want us to notice this about the sociality of the hive. And that's this, that bees are not self-sufficient. In other words, if I take one single bee out of my beehive and I put that bee by itself, that bee will die. It cannot survive on its own. It can't keep itself warm in the cold times. It can't keep itself cool down in the hot times. It can't produce enough to take care of itself. It needs the rest of the hive to make it through what we'll talk about in a few minutes, the winter time of its life. That little bee, they need each other inside of that hive. Tonight, can I say this, that we need one another in the church. Paul said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. That is, lifting up one another. That is, encouraging one another. That is, carrying one another's burdens and helping one another tonight. He said, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Paul said that we're to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You see, tonight, church, we as a church need one another. We need one another for strength. We can't do this thing on our own. I've been out there and I've tried to do it on my own. And I've tried to go in my own strength. And I've tried to go in my own power. But I need you and you need one another. We need to be praying for each other. When there's something in the hive that's just too heavy for one of the bees to carry by itself. I've watched 5 or 6 bees carry moths out of the hive. I've watched them carry sticks out of a hive that was 5 times bigger than one of them bees. I've watched them carry a little piece. I put a cloth in my hives to capture small hive beetles. And them cloths will be, when they're wadded up, almost as big as my fist. And I've watched those bees, Brother Tim, drag that out of the hive. But by itself, one bee can't do that. But when they all work together, it's amazing what they can accomplish in church tonight. If we as a church will work together, it'd be amazing what we could accomplish. You may be trying to carry burdens today that's too heavy to carry alone. That's why we have to work it together. We're to carry one another's burdens, to pray for one another, to encourage one another, and to lift up one another, and to get strength from one another. I'll tell you this too, a single bee isn't much against a bear. But a whole hive of bees is. Can I remind all of us tonight, we do have some enemies. And regardless of what some folks say, we are no match for the devil. I'll be honest with you, I ain't no match for me. I have a hard time with me, with my flesh. But tonight, if we gather together and we fight the battles together, can I tell you tonight that there's safety in numbers, and you're not alone in this fight. And there's those in the church who will stand with you and pray with you and fight with you. And I thank God for those, Brother Tim, that's prayed for me through the years. When I faced those battles, I knew I wasn't alone. When I felt those prayers of the brethren going up for me, I thank God tonight that we're not alone in this fight. We don't have to fight it alone. We can stand together and fight. One of the marks, as I said earlier, of a eusocial species is division of labor. The jobs that a bee performs inside the hive is based, as I said, on its age. And you got some bees as housekeepers. That is, they keep the hive clean. They'll get nectar from foragers and take it up and put it into the cells and make honey out of it. Some of them will build a comb to put the honey in and lay the brood in. Other bees will feed the young bees, and while others ventilate the hive to reduce the carbon dioxide and the heat in the hive. Some bees stand guard at the hive entrance, making sure the enemies don't invade the hive. The point is this. Although every job is different, every bee has a job to do. There ain't no lazy bees in a beehive. They ain't no useless bees in a beehive. We used to say that drones were useless. They serve one purpose outside the hive, and that's it. They don't gather nectar. They don't gather pollen. They don't bring in water. They don't build comb. They don't do anything. And we used to always think that the drones were useless, but what we're finding out is that drones have a very important purpose, and without them, our bees don't do as well. What's my point? Even the drone that we thought was useless isn't useless. And although some jobs may although some jobs in the hive may seem like it's more important than others, it's not. Every job within the beehive is just as important as any other job. Without the foragers, they're going to starve to death. Without the comb builders, there'll be no place to put the nectar. Without the pollen collectors, there'll be nothing to feed the brood. Without the queen, there'll be no new bees coming along. Without the guard bees, enemies will enter the hive and kill out the hive. Every job within the hive is important. And every bee inside that hive is important. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. In 1 Corinthians, he said, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there's differences of administration, but the same Lord. What I'm trying to say is tonight, you may not be a Sunday school teacher. You may not be a preacher. You may not be an Awana teacher. But you got a job to do in this church, and your job is just as important as any other job in this church. There is no such thing as a second-class Christian. There is no such thing as an unwanted, an unusable church member. Everybody in this church has a job to do, and this church functions better when you're doing the job that God has for you to do. You are important to the church. You're important to the church. Can I say this tonight? Considering the sociality of the hive, the bees don't work for themselves. They're not concerned about what they want. They don't get up one morning and say, you know what? I just don't feel like going out there today. I don't feel like going outside today. I think I'll just stay in and not do anything. I think I'll just hang out at the hive and maybe watch a little television. And they don't really need me to go out there and do anything. They don't need me over there at that flower patch. Or they don't need me to go over there and do that. I'm not that important anyway. No, the bees do not work for themselves. They work for the good of the hive. They've got the hive in mind and not self in mind. I talked this morning on the handling of the gospel according to Paul. I talked about how that Paul had an earthly mindset. How that he realized that the things of this life are temporal. How that the things of this world will pass away. But not only did Paul have an earthly mindset, but Paul had an eternal mindset. Paul didn't have his eyes on the temporal things of this world, but he had his eyes on the immortal things of that other world. And the bees don't have their eyes on themselves. They've got it on the good of the hive. And if we as a church begin to see everything around us in view of the church, and we begin to work together, it's amazing what God can do with a church who's banded together in unity. Not only that, tonight do I want to consider this, the sociality of the hive, but I want us to consider this. Brother Tim, the seasons of a hive. There's seasons in the life of a colony of bees, different times that are marked by changes within the hive. The weather and the seasons of the year, the times of the year, is what causes these seasons within the hive to come about. So we'll begin tonight looking at the cold, dark months of winter. The bees inside the hive have clustered together. A lot of people ask me, well, what do your bees do in the wintertime? Well, they're smarter than us. They stay where it's warm. They'll cluster up into a tight ball inside the hive, using some muscles to keep the hive temperature just above the point to where they would die. If the temperature in that hive drops 1 degree, Brother John, those bees will die. And that's where they'll stay till it begins to warm up. On a warm day, you'll see them come out. But then they'll go back in the hive and get back in that cluster. And right in the center of that cluster is the queen, all snug and protected within that cluster of bees. They do that, they join together in that cluster and they move as one throughout the hive, feeding on the honey that they've stored during the spring. And they'll feed on that honey and move as one unit all through that hive up and down. And can I say tonight that there's going to be winter times in the church? The church, just like us as Christians, have seasons that it goes through. And there's going to be some winter times in the church. Some times when it seems like things have gotten cold and dark. Brother John, it's in those winter times, in those winter months of the church, that we have to come together and to rely upon one another to make it through that season. But you know, an amazing thing happens, Brother Tim. Right after the winter solstice, the day after the winter solstice, just about, an amazing thing happens within that beehive. You realize the winter solstice is the shortest day of the year. It's the darkest day. More darkness on that day than any other day of the year. But just after that darkest time in that season, all of a sudden, those bees will raise the temperature in that hive to about 98 degrees. That's the temperature that needs to be to raise brood. And that queen that was right in the middle of that cluster, she'll start, they'll kind of open up a little bit, and she'll start laying a few eggs. See, that's those new bees. All winter long, she's not laid any eggs. There's been no new bees. There's not been any production of bees, Brother John. What I'm trying to say is that there ain't been nobody saved in a while. But right there after that darkest time, Brother Tim, when those bees begin to break that cluster a little bit and the temperatures are warming up just a little bit and the days begin to get a little longer, that queen in the center of that hive, that queen in the midst of all those workers, she'll start moving. And she'll start producing new bees a little bit at a time. And as that hive begins to grow and more bees get in there to keep that brood warm, they'll open up a little more. And that queen will begin to lay a little bit more. And pretty soon, by the beginning of spring, that hive may go from about 10,000 bees to about 60,000. Because in the peak of spring, that queen may be laying 2,500 eggs a day. What I'm trying to tell you is this. It may get to be pretty dark at times. Yeah, it may seem like it's pretty cold at times. But what I'm trying to tell you is to hold on tonight because the springtime's a-coming. Springtime is a-coming. After that summer, that winter solstice, and after she begins to lay, the springtime will come, and as the flowers and the trees begin to bloom and the pollen begins to come into the hive, the queen, as I said, will increase laying eggs up to about 2,500 a day. The population of that hive explodes as they begin to prepare for the next winter. As the nectar comes into the hive, it's changed into honey. It's the spring season when things are really happening in and around the hive. Foragers are flying hundreds of miles a day, gathering nectar and water and pollen. The population of the hive swollen, as I said, to about 60,000 bees, all working together for the good of the hive. But as the temperatures continue to rise, Brother Tim, and it begins to be summertime, along about July, August, we ain't getting no rain and the flowers stop blooming, things begin to slow down again. The bees, they'll hang out on what we call the front porch. They'll beard on the hive to stay cool. There's no work to be done. There's nothing blooming to bring in. They may bring a little water in. They get lucky, they may find a dandelion to get a little bit of pollen off of. But it seems like that things really slowed down. The population of the hive begins to drop off in the summertime. The emphasis now is on survival. Protecting what's in the hive from the enemies that want to steal it. But fall brings a new nectar flow. The goldenrod starts coming in the fall. It smells like dirty, wet socks. It really does. Y'all come over to my house this fall and let me pop the top of the hive. You'll be going, man, what is that? Stinks in there. Wonderful source of nectar for the bees, though, and they make a lot of honey off of it. But not only does fall bring a new nectar flow, but the queen begins to produce new bees again. These are special bees. These are winter bees. See, a typical worker bee only lives about 6 weeks. But winter bees live for the duration of the winter up until the spring buildup. There's more nectar coming in to replace food stores that were depleted during the summer dearth. What am I trying to get at by all this? I'm trying to get you to understand that the church is going to go through seasons. I'm trying to tell you that there's going to be times of drought. There's going to be times of want. There's going to be times of plenty. There's going to be times when it seems like God is really moving and He's producing fruit in the life of the church. But there's going to be other times when it seems like that those wells have dried up and it seems like that God just ain't doing nothing. Don't quit. Don't give up. What would happen to those bees if all of a sudden, when there was no nectar coming in, when it seemed like everything had dried up, if they just abandoned the hive and said, I'm done with it? Every one of them would die. Every one of them would die. In church tonight, when those times in our life and in the life of the church come to where it seems like everything is dried up, don't quit. Don't quit. There's going to be times when souls are getting saved and times when they're not. It's just the seasons. Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Paul said, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere, in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But Paul finished that statement up in verse 13 with this. I can do all things, whether I'm in want, whether I'm in plenty, whether I'm full or whether I'm hungry, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. There's going to be seasons in the church. But I want us to notice, last of all, not only the sociality of the hive and the seasons of the hive, but I want us to notice this. I want us to notice the swarming of the hive. That last couple of weeks, I took this job supposedly part-time, and it seems like I just haven't had the time to check on my bees like I did last year. So I've caught a lot of swarms this year. It seems like they've kept me busy, Brother Terry. Springtime is a great time for the hive. Boy, the tulip poplar is blooming more this year than I've ever seen it. No rain in sight. It looks like it's going to be an unbelievable year, Brother Tim. Everything is perfect. Plenty of food coming in. Plenty of new bees being born in the hive. Sound familiar? Hive's packed. Boy, I mean, things are buzzing, Brother John. Hey, they're just busy as bees in there. Life couldn't be better for the bees. But there's a great danger in the spring that rarely occurs at any other season in the year. And that danger is swarms. Sometimes, I think Dr. Tom Seeley said about 10% of swarms that issue from a hive survive the winter. In other words, when those bees leave that hive, they very rarely survive the winter. As the hive grows, as springtime carries on and the workers are busy, there's times when the workers will put honey in the cells that new bees are hatching out of. You say, so? Well, when this happens, the queen runs out of room to lay eggs. In other words, she runs out of room to produce more bees and she'll leave the hive because she doesn't have room to work. When the queen leaves, many of the bees will leave with her. They find a new home where they can begin a new hive. Not only does that hurt them, but it also cuts down on the workforce in the hive that they left. So they're not going to bring in as much stores for the next winter, Brother Tim. You see, all the work, all the busyness of the bees caused the swarm. They literally ran that queen out of their hive with their busyness. Got so busy making honey, they was just putting it anywhere they could. Brother Tim, the queen didn't have anywhere to work anymore. If we're not careful, church, when our springtime comes, our busyness, our programs, and our plans can crowd the Holy Spirit right out of the church. We can get to the point to where the Holy Spirit can no longer work in the church because we've got it so packed with what we want. It isn't a natural season. It isn't that we're entering winter. In other words, when the queen stops production of eggs, it's not that we've entered into winter. It's not a natural season that the bees go through. It's a result of their own carelessness in crowding that queen out of service. If we crowd out the Holy Spirit and don't give Him room to move, He'll go where there is room to move. Church, the world around us tonight can teach us an awful lot about God and His Word if we'll study it and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. And just like one bee can't make enough honey to survive the winter, we can't make it alone, you and I. We can't. We need each other, church. It takes a hive. You've heard the phrase, it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a hive full of bees to survive the winter. Brother Tim, I've watched hives go into the winter with just a handful of bees and they die. Because there just wasn't enough bees in there. Wasn't enough to keep things going. We have to remember that there's going to be seasons, not just in our individual life, but in this church also. The seasons come and seasons go, but God's always the same. And when the springtime comes again, church, it seems like we're entering into that springtime, Brother John. We're seeing souls get saved. God's moving. I don't want to crowd Him out. I want to allow Him the room that He needs to move in the church. Oh, church, tonight, it should be our goal to work and to move in a way that allows the Holy Spirit the most freedom of movement in the church and not to crowd Him out in any way. Thank God for bees. I enjoyed that study. We can't make it alone, church. We need one another. Brother John.